This is the Blockchain Billions Podcast with your host, Henrik de Geer.
I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Carl Flersch. Carl, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Carl, who are you and what do you do?
So I am developing Ujo Music. So Ujo Music is a blockchain-based platform that is trying to build a fairer music industry. So we're addressing problems like artists being able to directly license their content, startups being able to acquire licenses to, and companies, services, Spotify, whatnot, to license that music and include it in their catalog, and fixing the broken payment channels due to the music industry's poor data quality, essentially.
How are you involved with blockchain?
So the Ujo Music platform is completely blockchain-based. I'm actually also, I'm working at a company called Consensus, which is a incubator for blockchain-based startups, and Ujo Music is one of those startups. So deep in the blockchain space, in particular, I'm deep in the Ethereum space as opposed to the Bitcoin space. So Ethereum is an alternative technology to Bitcoin. It was created, started development around like 2014, and has been quickly gaining momentum. The differentiating factor between Bitcoin and Ethereum is mostly that Ethereum is a smart contract platform, which means that instead of simply transferring money from person A to person B or account A to account B, this platform is able to execute code. So anything that you can think of that you can code. Ujo Music is using the Ethereum platform as opposed to the Bitcoin platform. So the difference between these two blockchain solutions, blockchain technologies, is that the Ethereum platform is based around the concept of executing smart contracts in a decentralized network. And what that means is in Bitcoin, you are simply sending money from person A to person B. But in Ethereum, you are instead executing arbitrary code. And this code is called a smart contract. And the reason why it's called a smart contract is that it's very useful to be used in legal situations where you want to automate some process. So for instance, if person A and person B want to get together and loan some money, but they want to loan it conditionally. They want to say, okay, you have to pay me back X amount at a regular basis. So, you know, there's some kind of interest. And the moment that you don't pay that back, some function is triggered and something is canceled. Maybe a future payment is canceled. So what will be able to be done is you can actually initiate this on a smart contract. And all of that logic, the making sure that this amount has been paid monthly, that can all be done on a computer instead of having to do it by hand. And this gives us the flexibility to do really interesting things with automating functions that currently are done in a very manual process. And we are using this for the music industry. And so in particular, what we're doing is we are storing the works. And these works are like the recordings and compositions of songs in the Ethereum blockchain. We're also issuing licenses, and these licenses can be have their own logic inside of them. And we're also sending payments through the Ethereum blockchain because it also supports payments, of course. And we are messing around with decentralized governance around this. Essentially music platform, blockchain-based music platform. Another way that I'm involved with blockchain is I am an active member of the Ethereum community, and I have a blog, carl.tech, which has Solidity tutorials if you want to deploy a smart contract on the Ethereum blockchain. And I've also done research in protocol level stuff in the blockchain technology, like proof of stake. On Ujo, the smart contracts that we're using, We created a basically an alpha or a prototype call with Imogen Heap. Imogen Heap is an artist. She is very into independent music releases and bleeding edge technology. So that intersection, we hooked up with her and we released one of her songs, Tiny Human, on the Ethereum blockchain. And what that means is that listeners were able to pay essentially a smart contract on the Ethereum blockchain. And that smart contract had the split percentages, ownership percentages of all of the different participants. And so when you send a dollar to download the song, all of the people who had ownership of that song were paid their percentage. So for instance, a drummer got 1%, or a producer got 5%, or Imogen Heap got vast majority of the percentage, like 93%. And so this is some of the automation that Ouija Music can do. But we are essentially taking this a step further and making this a generalizable platform, so that we are not going to be able to foresee every single, for instance, ownership splits. If you want to do download ownership splits, there are a huge number of applications and services that one could provide on Ethereum in the context of the music industry. And what we're trying to do is build a platform where artists can generally take advantage of all of these different services and use it to essentially give more control to the artist that is releasing music, and make it a lot less expensive to protect their rights and monetize their intellectual property.
Carl, what are the biggest challenges and successes with blockchain?
So first, I'll start with the successes. So we have, through blockchain technology, this blockchain movement, there's been a shift in how we approach a lot of different problems. And these problems mostly have to do with organizations or groups of people generally that need to collaborate and coordinate with one another. So a general problem that we have had is you have a large number of competing organizations, and they all have their own closed off data. So they have their little data islands. And the problem is that it would actually be better for everyone to share a singular space where that data can live. And so what has happened is, through this idea of blockchain and a global distributed ledger, you know, all of these ideas, it's about like unifying where we are looking for our data and where we are storing our data, and kind of creating this common space for everyone to share. And that concept is actually much less of a technical problem and much more of a fundamental thought shift from large corporations to just unique individuals. And I can go into that later. That's been a major success of blockchain. And unfortunately, that comes with a number of challenges. And one of those big challenges, first, of course, you have the technical learning. What can blockchain do? What can't it do? And this is actually very interesting, because the biggest success is that it's forced people to think, okay, maybe we should be sharing our data. Maybe we should have this global database. For instance, the music industry has a lot of metadata. In every company has their own database of recordings or compositions. And the problem is that those databases by themselves have pretty poor data quality, and they spend a lot of time getting everyone in sync with one another. If we could just shift that and we all put our data into the same space, then we could just work on maintaining one database that is accurate. So there's these clear benefits that blockchain has really put to light. But the problem is that there is this huge, number one, a huge learning curve. And this learning curve includes learning that blockchain, while it can provide a single database, it is non-trivial trying to organize large companies to share a single database, no matter if it's blockchain or if it's a proprietary database. It is extremely difficult, and it comes with its own challenges. And these challenges include governance. It includes, incentivizing people to join this collective database. There are a lot of less technical problems and more kind of organizational, human, social problems that come in when you're talking about getting everyone to share some kind of common ground. And so this is a real area of research, especially governance. Once you do have everyone together, how are you going to put together some form of governance? These are old, age-old problems that we're really starting to see come to light in blockchain technology.
Carl, in your point of view, what will blockchain augment, change, or replace?
So I think it's going to do a little bit of all three of those things, but it'll start out as an augmentation. I see it as many of these organizations, most notably, for instance, a lot of banks are getting together currently to figure out how to put together consortium blockchains to make their operations more efficient. And sending money from bank A to bank B or registering bonds or whatever it is very hard to do when you have separated data islands. But when you just have one kind of shared database, these processes get much more efficient. So it's kind of an augmentation of their current situation, their current technologies or their current organizational structures, where they move from I'm closing my database to I'm sharing some of my database with a number of different parties. And that's, I think, going to happen in a ton of different areas, and it's going to produce a large amount of efficiency gains in many, many sectors. And that is from finance to the music industry to health insurance to retail to, you know, there are a million places where people need to coordinate. And this is really what blockchains are fundamentally good at. It's creating situations where you have favorable coordination gains. And where we start to see blockchains replace systems, it's when our kind of let's get together and share data moves from just let's share data and kind of work on this prototype to, okay, now let's share all of our data, or not all of our data, but a large percentage of our data, and let's have governance structures that are built into the blockchain, for instance, voting on the blockchain, that really takes it to the next level. Because what that will eventually do is it will replace, it will fundamentally shift what people are doing to when they interact with one another. And by people, I mean organizations. It can be people, but many times it is organizations. So for instance, there are 15 organizations that all have their own data and they want to share it, but currently they have it locked up in their own little spots. What they can do to kind of change the way that they fundamentally look at everything is they put all of their data into one pool, and then they create a new business model for people. And that business model is for other organizations. Instead of, we currently have organizations that spend all of their time cleaning data and sending it from one organization A to organization B and cleaning it in the process. But what we'll be able to do is we have a shared data pot, and those organizations that were previously cleaning data as it goes from organization A to organization B are now just maintaining this database and cleaning it up for everyone's benefit. So you only have to do the work once. So that's like, when we get to that, it will be a significant enough change that I think we'll see just a shift in how these organizations are run. And taking that one step further is, you know, almost science fiction, where you can see the ability for smaller organizations to exist. So instead of having one large company that has tons of internal resources, and the reason why we have these large companies is that the processes inside that company are going to be more efficient than reaching out to other companies. But if we have blockchains that are essentially mitigating and being the middlemen, these automated middlemen, we can have smaller organizations all getting together and forming this kind of mesh of services and innovation. And that's, you know, that's like sci-fi levels, where you start talking about DAOs and which are decentralized autonomous organizations. But I don't think I should unpack that in this episode. My guess is that we're going to naively pursue blockchain coordination projects between large companies for the next year and a half in at least the major ones. We're going to see there's going to be large organizations that are taking the first steps in blockchain and they're making all the mistakes and they're learning, okay, now that we have a blockchain, we need governance. This is going to be happening for the next year, 2 years. And then we're going to see those blockchain solutions become a little bit more mature, maybe. And I hope to see a transition from, 10 years from now, seeing this kind of decentralized mesh of blockchain assisted value transfer and information sharing that really becomes mature or starts to be really, significantly impacting people on their day-to-day functioning. For instance, enabling this increase of freelancers that we've seen and really rethinking how we make money and how we organize as people.
Carl, how will people make money with blockchain?
So there are two ways that I see people making money with blockchain, and that is in the centralized or consortium blockchain or private blockchain settings, and that is with like subscriptions to the private blockchain or services, basically, open source the blockchain and make it sell services on top of it. There are many, many different centralized ways that we basically can take blockchain and fit it into our conventional business model catalog. The alternative are these weird decentralized business models that we've seen pop up around cryptocurrencies, for instance, Ethereum and Bitcoin. So the thing is that they both use this concept of an app coin. And that's, you can see an article by Fred Ersham of Coinbase that really describes what an app coin is. But what they're doing is they're basically creating their own micro economies where you have, for instance, in Bitcoin, you have the Bitcoin protocol is created, and then the Bitcoin protocol has a mechanism in it that rewards Bitcoin miners. And so these are people who turn on their computers and oftentimes turn on their large server racks to mine Bitcoin. And that is essentially performing some algorithms on their computers over and over and over again. And this Bitcoin network of miners has actually has accumulated incredible computing power. It's astonishing. It's currently burning more energy. The Bitcoin miners are burning more energy than, small nation states, right? This is a massive operation. And this is an economy that has grown up out of a protocol. So out of the Bitcoin protocol. So someone coded up something on their computer, put it on open source, open source the software, and now everyone's using the software and burning tons of energy. So it's a really interesting a way that people can make money, because if you take that concept and you say, okay, I'm the first person who mined Bitcoin because I created Bitcoin, that means that I will have the most Bitcoins. And so if this economy starts to grow and boom, then I will be a big player, a big fish in this new economy. So what you do is you essentially decentralize the ownership of the platform that you're building. And that's normally with app coins. There's a lot of problems with projects that are essentially selling securities, but that's a whole nother issue. And then you decentralize ownership with these app coins, and then you decentralize governance with there's a lot of questions around that. We don't actually have solutions for good decentralized governance just yet. There's only research being done there. But this is, I think, the movement towards this mesh of smaller groups of people that are all following a protocol to create an economy which is benefiting everybody. And that is like a fundamentally really interesting idea that, that blockchain brings to the table that isn't really possible in the setting where you have a large overhead for creating a new company or interacting with companies or interacting with people, because you don't have this decentralized trust that a blockchain provides.
Carl, what advice do you have for those interested in blockchain?
So first, the advice would be learn about it and enjoy it, because I absolutely enjoy it. And so I hope you do too. So I would recommend going to Ethereum and Bitcoin meetups and talking to the people working on these projects. Some of them are eccentric, some of them are genius, and many of them are both. It's really great to interact with people in this community, and I think that's where the most learning will take place, because there are a lot of concepts that are very hard to wrap your head around, and so actually talking to these people will help immensely. I would also recommend checking out the Epicenter podcast. That is a very good podcast that covers from Bitcoin to Ethereum and many, many projects in between.
Well, thanks, Carl.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking.
For more on this, visit blockchainbillionspodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out blockchainbillionsbook.com. Thanks for listening.